This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome, listeners, to Postcards on the Line. Let's all take a nice, deep, meditative breath in, bring in all the good thoughts, and have a nice breath out for all of your negative thoughts. I'm your host, Christopher D. Littlefield, and with me this week is Bruce Gibson. Bruce, do you feel calm and relaxed by this lovely meditative music tonight?
I do. I'm very calm. I'm very relaxed. So relaxed that I'll probably fall asleep in the middle of the show.
Oh, no, that's no good.
No. But, you know, as you introduce the show and you say it's Postcards from the Line, I couldn't help but thinking it sounds like something I'd hear from World War II. Like, these were postcards sent from the front lines of battle.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could be. I mean, you know, for this episode this week, there was some battle involved, so...
That's true. That's where the line name came from, was from this episode, The Battle on Mars.
Right. That's exactly where it came from.
Sure.
Maybe the kids were sending postcards to their parents, and then that's what happened.
Yes. In the 24th century, they're still sending postcards.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm a little under the weather, so, you know, if I, like... lose it, then everybody just stop and come back next week.
Yeah. And you were on a Postcards episode a long time ago with Amy with For Discovery, right?
Yeah, Postcards from the Edge. It was like, I don't know, like the second or third or fourth Postcards or whatever. But yeah, I did that at the same time, that same episode or week doing the live show with Brandy.
Yeah. And I've been on the live show a couple times with you guys for season two of Discovery.
That's right. Yes. And we thought, gee, wouldn't he be great for a Postcards show?
And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
And you're taking the lead. See, on the live show, I'm taking the lead. Now it's your turn.
Yeah.
You get to lead me.
You're leading this dance. Okay. Oh, that's a nice dance you got going there.
You guys like this dance I got going?
Yeah. There you go. Here, I'm doing it back for you. There we go. Well, today we're discussing the fan response to Short Trek's Children of Mars. If you would like to participate and share your response, please post your comments in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Type B-A-B-E-L into the search field and it will come right up. We'll create a special Postcards discussion thread right before each new episode. Leave your comments and they just might get read on the air. Now, as of this recording, we have 150 comments on the Postcards thread, which is a 257% increase from our last episode. Listeners, keep the comments coming because we love your feedback. Of course, the last episode, Bruce, was just about the trailer.
Yes.
So it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot to say about that.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And Chrissy was the first guest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so I'm the second.
You're the second guest on Postcards on the Line.
Wow, this is my first line.
Yeah. Okay. This is my second line.
It's a party line.
It's a party line. With just two of us.
Dancing.
Yep.
Woo!
All right, well, let's get to the listener feedback. Bruce and Gage.
Okay, so the first one is from Kevin Scharf. And Kevin says, I thought this was beautiful. The two girls had a tough job conveying the story without dialogue. It is nice to see that kids don't change much in 300 years and that tragedy can make friends of enemies. I'm very intrigued about how this plays into Star Trek Picard. None of the trailers to this point have hinted at a threat other than Borg or Romulans. A new enemy is exciting. Yes, a new enemy is exciting because I don't always like to revisit the old enemies all the time, like bring in something new and something fresh. So I think we are going to see something new in this.
I think so.
In Picard.
Yeah, and perhaps based upon something that we know from the past.
Ooh, what do you know?
Like an evolution. Well, with the synth thing. Well, we're going to get to that in later comments.
Yes.
Daniel Murdoch says, wow, that was a beautiful piece of film work. Enemies brought together over adversity. Backstory for Picard. Don't let anyone tell you this isn't Trek. Exploring new worlds isn't just Starfleet, it's Trek. New worlds in writing, storytelling, and filmmaking should and must be part of it. 8 minutes seemed like 4 minutes. Did it seem to go by fast for you, Bruce?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess that when you say 8 minutes, I don't know if I'd say four, but yeah, it didn't feel as long as eight to me.
Yeah, it didn't to me either.
Well, that's a good sign, because that means, you know, things go faster when you're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Daniel.
Joyce C. Lucas says, this was such a beautiful episode. You know what? Joy says it's a beautiful episode, and the name Joy is beautiful, too. So it just all goes hand in hand, right?
That's true. Yeah. I don't know that the episode was joyful, but it was definitely beautiful.
It was beautiful in with the music and how it's portrayed the friendship that ends at the very end and how that all comes together. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a beautiful episode. And then we have Kevin Parlegrico says, this was amazing. So powerful in just 8 minutes. If this is a tease for the tone of the new show, we are in for it.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the tone?
Well, see, I don't know if this will be the tone of Picard. I think it's going to be a more somber tone than we got or that we're getting with Discovery.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would say this is probably more in tone with Picard. But it's so hard with these short treks because all the short treks try to be a little different, too.
Right.
So I'm not really judging tone of this on Picard, but it's very possible.
Right. Visually,
it works.
Yeah, visually, it felt a little bit more closer to what we've seen in the teasers.
Yes.
Chris Foster says, rogue synths attack Mars. Two keywords to marinate on, rogue and synths. It made me think of Measure of a Man and the prospect of a race of Datas and when they fight back. This is what I was talking about earlier, about the new enemy being based upon the Data-like things.
Yes. It's like the next evolution of Datas.
Right.
In a sense.
Right. I'm so intrigued by that.
I am too. Well, it also makes sense that it's just Data's not just going to be a character that is just making a cameo in this just to be in there. There's actually going to be a connection between Data and Seven of Nine and the synths and the Borg. It all links together in some manner.
Yeah.
And that's coming for me who hasn't even seen the show yet.
Right. Yeah. Do you know something that we don't know?
I do not.
You sure?
I promise I don't. I wish I did. If I knew something, I'd say I know, but I'm not telling. But that's not the case.
Okay. Okay, that's fair.
Liam Smart says, oh man, there were so many gut punches in the short. The start, showing the family not being there due to work, has to be heartbreaking for our child. I was sitting there wondering, whilst enjoying this nonetheless, what the point of this was until, bam, Mars is under attack. I absolutely loved how the music played center stage and conveyed the disbelief and sadness that the characters would be feeling. It also brought home further the issue we are having in Australia with our bushfires. Whilst I'm personally not affected physically, witnessing what is happening is horrifying and deeply upsetting, and this just made me feel so much more. I will say this has to be my favorite of all shorts, and has pipped brightest star. Calypso is still firmly stuck at the bottom, though, Chris. I can't wait for Picard if this is the quality we are to look forward to. So he threw in a little thing about Calypso to you, Chris.
He did.
This is the bottom of his list.
Yeah, Liam and I occasionally have these conversations about which short treks we like the most and which we like the least. Calypso has been at the bottom for a long time for Liam. But I'm shocked that this takes the place of Brightest Star, Liam.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Wow, okay.
I think Liam is set for Picard now.
Yeah, I think so. And we're certainly glad that you're not affected by the bushfires, Liam. And if there are any listeners that are, we're so sorry. We hope that you are staying safe. And, you know, that's so awful what's going on.
Yeah, it's hard to contain those for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting that the events reminded Liam of things like that and other people of other things that we'll also get to later.
Yep.
Rob Chapman says, genuinely teared up a little after watching this. Plus, how friggin' awesome was it to see Admiral Picard, if only for a few seconds? Left me with a lot of questions, which I kind of like. Oh, so many questions.
So many questions. And so little time. No, wait, that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it is nice to see Picard. The thing is, if you went into this episode not knowing anything, you don't know if this is tied to Discovery, you don't know what time period, you don't know anything, you would be watching this and not really having an idea of when this takes place. But as soon as you get towards the end and you see Picard's face on that screen and it says Admiral Picard, uh-huh, all of a sudden this places that episode in the later 24th century after TNG. That's right. The key that you know when this is taking place.
Yep. After Nemesis.
Yep.
Sometime between Nemesis and Picard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I think they said it's about 15 years before Picard, I think.
Okay. Yeah, Justin Ozer had talked about how it might be related to the Hobus supernova, but then this happens before that, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Mary Coleman says, I woke up this morning and instantly remembered that the new Short Treks was out, laughing out loud. I really like this. The music was a perfect choice and really helped draw out all the emotion. It honestly makes me want the next 2 weeks to go faster. I find myself trying to tie it to the Countdown comics and can't quite connect the dots at this point. I wonder if the last comic will make it clearer or if the real connection will have to come with the show. That's a very good point.
That's a very good point. And if I'm not mistaken, Mary, you might be a first-time commenter. So, yeah. First-time commenter!
Oh, wow. I didn't know we had a jingle for that.
I don't know. It's just I'm testing it out.
Oh, well, keep testing.
Oh.
Hey, so just about the Countdown comics.
Yeah. Because I just read it 2 days ago.
Oh,
the first two. I got
the first two, right.
Yeah, I got the digital copies. The third one doesn't come out until after the first episode.
I know. So here's the problem with comics, okay? From somebody who does literary treks, it's
right,
sometimes hard to schedule things because the comic was supposed to come out shortly, like just the week before Picard, the last issue,
okay,
was supposed to come out. I don't know what it is, but something delayed it. So there's a lot of times where we're going to cover comics on literary treks, and then we look and go, oh, it's been delayed another couple weeks, or it's delayed another month or whatever. So this, I guess, because it takes a while, I guess, for the art and whatever, and to then publish. And so, yeah, unfortunately, the third issue is coming out. I think it's like 29th? The last week of January. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The 29th.
Yeah. So you'll see a new episode of Picard, the first episode, and then you can read the last issue of the Picard Countdown comic.
Right.
But yeah, I don't see a connection between the Short Treks and the comics yet.
Yeah.
At least at this point. I think we're going to get more of an answer in the Picard TV series, more so than we're going to get in the comics.
Yeah, I think so too. Nicholas Paul Collinson says, definitely gave me some memories of high school. Didn't help that their uniforms were the same colors as mine. The acting of the two girls was great, and I really felt for them. I might be hypersensitive to the idea of watching people you love affected by a disaster, what with the bushfires here putting everyone on edge, but the sense of despair on their faces when they saw the footage of the attack was so real. Yeah, so Nick is in Australia also. From a geeky point of view, seeing the brief shot of Utopia Planitia was really cool, and I'm only slightly annoyed that one of the ships in dock was a McGee-class ship from the Discovery era, even older than a Miranda or Excelsior. I guess they really built them to last in the 2250s. I'm super intrigued by the rogue synths that carry out the attack. That was not something I expected. I think this is definitely what Allison Pill's character works with in the series. Maybe they tried to adapt Soong-type androids and Borg technology, and it backfired. Ooh, interesting thought. Maybe that's why B4 is in bits in the drawer. I'm really looking forward to issue 3 of the Countdown comics. I predict it will lead right into this attack. So excited for Picard. This is going to be amazing. Thanks for your comment, Nick. And you can, Nick is the new, one of the new hosts on the Edge main show.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. With Liam and Brandy.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. You know, he makes a comment about Alison Pill's character working with these synths and Data or B4 or whatever in the drawer. I don't spend a lot of time speculating because I don't like to. I mean, I do, but it's like I always feel like it's going to ruin it. I just want to go in and like fresh.
Yeah.
And but that comment there, I think he's right on.
Yeah.
Think her character is definitely connected to that.
Mm-hmm. I really am excited about her. She looks really cool. I mean, all of these new actors in the series, I'm very excited about the young Romulan samurai type of situation happening. And I just think it's going to be really cool to see new Trek characters interacting with Picard.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm really excited. Okay. So Karen Chupless says, it made me want Picard right now. I thought it was haunting and evocative. More like a long trailer for the tone of what Picard will be, because even as he was announcing it, Stewart and producers have pounded home this is not TNG 2.0. People seem to persist in expecting that. I love that it just started, no titles, and built and built. I think you can't watch it and not remember how you felt in 9/11, or indeed any huge traumatic event you've experienced that creates the most unsettling anxiety. It's really quite beautiful. I don't know what the characters will return, but I kind of wish they would.
Hmm.
So, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, it's,
yeah,
you know, and we're saying about the bushfires and things like that.
The bushfires and 9/11. Yeah.
I will say that, you know, just seeing those girls watching those monitors, that was my experience with 9/11. I was at a convention and we were all just standing around looking at monitors all around us in a big open area, just like that. And it instantly took me back to that moment.
Yeah. It briefly occurred to me, but I really paid attention to the listeners that were commenting on that it reminded them more of 9/11. And I was still living with my parents, and I turned the TV on. I'd just woken up in my bedroom, and I can definitely see how that's that is evocative of that tragedy. You know?
Yeah, I remember at the moment I was actually presenting at a conference. And I just finished and I was like, yes, it went so well. And then someone told the audience, there's been an event, a plane crash in New York. Everyone step outside. If you want to see it's on the monitors out there, we'll take a 15-minute break. And
wow. So
my height of, yes, I killed it. And my presentation went like,
oh, boom, yeah, it just, you know, didn't really instantly. Matter, did it?
No. I actually kind of forgot about it after that, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for your comment, Karen. I hope that we see the characters again, too. I don't know that we will, but I did also like that it didn't start with any titles, or that it just started with the image of the one girl.
Yeah, and we don't get the title until the very end, mm-hmm. and it's in that same font that they used on TNG, but in red instead of blue.
Yeah, it's pretty close. There's like it's a little bit edited, right?
Yeah.
From that, but it's certainly really close.
It's close.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's close. Close enough.
Yep.
Danny Brown says, beautiful short Trek is what immediately comes to mind. Sad what happens, but a beautiful example of two kids now being there for each other after their now common loss. Yeah. They were pretty tough on each other. I couldn't believe the fighting.
I thought the fighting was a little extreme. Not to say that it wouldn't be that way, but I didn't expect them to take it that far and
get up!
Show blue. Blood.
Get up!
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, these girls are...
That was a bigger fight than I've ever been in, so...
Yeah, and you've been in quite a few fights.
I'm in fights all the time.
Yeah. You're a brawler.
I'm a brawler.
Yeah.
Bruce the brawler.
That time we had dinner in Manhattan last year, we threw a couple punches at each other, too.
Yeah, I remember even throwing the table
right
at the restaurant. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah, I think I smashed a beer bottle and held it to your neck at one point.
You did.
But it was all fine. We had a good time. Everybody laughed.
Yeah, they did. And I mean, I only drew a little blue blood out of you.
Just a little bit.
So JJ Becker says, this was very moving for such a short piece. The story was well told and full of interesting details. I was reminded of seeing the Challenger explode in school when I was young, and I could identify a bit with the feelings of helplessness that must be going through the hearts of the students at the school. seeing that live in class, I thought, you never know what's going to happen. In that case, what started as something to celebrate turned into a tragedy right in front of us. Before teachers even had a chance to process what was happening and turn it off, it was over. That's a good parallel.
That's a really good parallel. Thanks, JJ. And I think you're also a first-time commenter. If you're not, then I just, you know, got to sing it again. But yeah, do you remember the Challenger, Bruce?
I do. I remember I was, I just started college. Was it my first year of college or second year? I can't remember. But I was going to a commuter school my first couple years. And so I was living at home. And I remember coming home. My mom was upstairs getting ready for the day or whatever because she got up late. And I had an early class. And I got back. And I was just standing. I was standing there watching TV, watching. And all of a sudden, something weird went on. I was like, what's going on here? I don't see it. And then, you know, finding out. Because I by the way, at that time, I was studying aerospace engineering. Because I wanted to work at NASA. Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got home after class so I could watch that.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that about you. I mean, I was in elementary school. It was January 28th, 1986 at 11:39 a.m. Eastern. Yep. We watched it live in the classroom when it happened. It was insane.
Wow. See, I wasn't a group. I was by myself. So what was the reaction of the class when you were there? How was that like?
I think we were just, we didn't really know. We didn't, I mean, I can't remember what grade I was in, but I must have been 9 years old, something like that, 8 or 9. And we just remember seeing the explosion and everything, and we didn't really understand what was going on and what was happening. And then they let us watch some of the little report after that, and then we talked about it.
See, the difference with this and what we saw in the short treks is it's pretty obvious, you know, there's an attack,
right?
Where with the Challenger there was a lot of
an accident
going on.
Yeah, right,
an accident. Did something happen? Was this, wait, did it explode or is it everything fine? I remember there was a lot of confusion,
yeah,
for the first few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But yeah, it does take you back to that.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating that we have another example that this short trek is reminding people of.
Yeah.
Brian Milosh says, Robert Verlache, and I don't know if I'm saying that name right, Verlache, who played the Vulcan principal in Children of Mars, also played Aradar, Saru's father, in The Brightest Star. Did you know that, Bruce?
I did not know that. This is news to me.
It's news to me too. Well, no, because I collected all the comments and then I looked him up on IMDb.
Well, I feel like I've seen that actor before, and I'm not saying from Saru's father that role, but I feel like I've seen him in something else.
I believe he was in Jessica Jones, and I think there's another one I can't remember. Another sci-fi type of situation that he did as well.
And Brandon Shea Mutala. Hey, I know that guy. He says, Peter Gabriel is my favorite singer ever. That's all he had to say. Okay, next one. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so, you know, listening to that song, it's called Heroes.
Right. It's a Bowie song.
It's a, yeah, David Bowie song, which I didn't know at the time. I do know that now. Before the show, I knew that now. But, you know, yeah, Peter Gabriel comes on. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. But, and I thought this, I was thinking this sounds like Peter Gabriel. But then when I watched the credits, there's no credit for it.
Right.
They don't mention the song at that, which I thought is really strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how they use the music in this. It did not bother me. It did not take me out like, wait, this is Star Trek. Why am I listening to some like modern, you know, song on here?
And right.
It worked. Totally worked for me.
It worked. It really just, put the tone in a certain way immediately.
Yeah. And it also makes me think, well, you know, we've heard music with singing like this in the intro song to Enterprise.
Right.
It almost makes me feel like that validates that more.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Michael Bentley in the chat also was discussing how they sang Space Oddity in Disco Season 2 when they were drilling into Tilly's head. And then Una McCormick in The Way to the Stars novel referencing Tilly loving Bowie as well.
Ah, yes, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Una's got a new Picard novel coming out.
Does she?
Yes, it'll be the first Picard novel coming out. I can't remember off the top of my head, but like I think end of February, beginning of March, somewhere in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so behind on the novels. I still haven't finished the first Discovery one, so I have a lot of catching up to do.
You do, and then you have to listen to Literary Treks when you're done reading those.
Then I do have to listen to Literary Treks. And listeners, if you don't know, on the live show, every time we mention Literary Treks, you're supposed to take a shot. So
that's right.
I think that's probably 5 mentioned so far. So listeners,
6, because I'm saying Literary Treks right now. There's 6.
Yeah, so every time we say Literary Treks, then
7.
You guys got some catching up to do. So everybody go do 7 shots real quick. And we'll be waiting here for you.
Because I'm very good at plugging things.
Yeah.
And it's a great show, because if you have read the Discovery novels, all those episodes where we talk about the novels have been with the authors, every single one of them. So you're hearing, it's not what I'm talking about or Dan's, it's what the authors have to say. It's really insightful.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah.
And we'll be doing the same thing with Una on her new book.
Nice. Oh, that's great. Peter Setnicker, who I think is also a first-time commenter, you got a little variation there, says, Short Treks was excellent. The attack parallels 9/11. The two girls coming together reminds us of the unity we all felt that day, and now Picard is going to find himself a post-9/11 world where everything has changed, except his morals. Dun-dun-dun.
You know, it keeps coming up about 9/11, and what Peter just said here made me think about Star Trek Enterprise, because they attack that. Oh,
the Zindi attack?
Yeah, the Zindi arc.
The initial one. Yeah.
So I want to ask the question, of course, nobody's here to answer it but you, but it's like, do we need another 9/11 type thing?
I don't think
the series is going to be that. I think that's fine for the Short Treks, but I don't think the series is going to focus so much on a 9/11 type war, but it is a post, it could be like a post 9/11, because you know Romulus is gone and
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beta Artemis on Twitter also mentioned a very similar thing that Peter did, but let's go ahead now and move on to your questions and concerns. Bruce, make it so.
Okay,
do you see what I'm doing there? Have you caught my You see what I
make it so and all that?
Engage.
Yeah.
And this is a show about Picard.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for you to say something with the line in it.
Oh, yeah. Let me think on it.
That's the weird title of the show now. The line.
So, it's drawn here.
The line must be drawn here. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Jessica Chiarda says, the only reason this exists is as a setup for Star Trek Picard. Taken by itself, I couldn't sympathize with either character and actually didn't really like either one. The balding Vulcan I found to be an interesting aesthetic touch, though. And yeah, the 9/11 parallels were deliberate, but probably only affected in abstract to people too young or not even born when it happened. The difficulty of impressing on young trainees that their job exists because of 9/11 has increased as the years go by, and I think that's not going to change. The First Contact Day reference was cool, but I was unclear if it was an advertisement for the upcoming holiday or if it was actually that day. I'm figuring the former, since the kids wouldn't have been in school. Am I intrigued about where the Picard show will take this plot development? Absolutely. But as a solo effort, this Short Trek was kind of meh. So Genesis starts off with "ick" and ends with "meh." So I think that kind of summarizes what she says in between here. About the First Contact Day, I've heard a lot of people talking about this. Like, well, would they have been in school? I've wondered that too. It's like, well, if it's the holiday, could First Contact Day be coming up later in the week and they're just celebrating? Yeah, I don't know. What? I think we're reading too much into it. I think it's probably the day.
Listen, Janessa, you know I love you, but why are people so nitpicky over the First Contact Day thing? Like, who cares if it was an actual school holiday or what? I took it as it is actually First Contact Day, but you don't get the day off.
True.
You know?
Well, okay, so there's certain holidays that I know that, like, for example, I get a day off and my wife doesn't.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not an official holiday yet by that point in the future.
I'm also really fascinated that Janessa finds that a balding Vulcan is an interesting aesthetic touch.
You don't see that many bald Vulcans, I guess.
I guess, well, there were a couple in Discovery, right? One
I
or two.
So.
And there's an admiral. Oh my god, an admirable admiral.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And Janessa also used to work for TSA, so the 9/11 thing she's referencing is having to, you know, a large part of her job has to do with what happened with TSA and the aftermath of all of that, and training people and working with people who were too young to know about it.
How do you know all this about her? Do you have like her bio sheet?
We DM. We're in each other's DMs.
Gotcha.
And we met at STLV last year for the first time in person.
I wasn't there last year.
No, you weren't. No.
But that may change this year.
Uh-oh. Okay. You hear that, Amy Nelson? Bruce is coming to STLV next year.
But Amy has to work a lot of those days.
Oh, she does. It's during school this year.
School, yep. It's a week later.
She's going to take off.
She can't because it's like the first day of school.
Oh, man. Oh, that stinks.
We'll have to send her a postcard.
We can send her a postcard on the line. Here.
And put it on the edge. You know, a postcard has lines in it, and it has four edges.
Yes.
Just say there's your link postcards to from the edge
And
from the line.
There you go.
That's my dad joke for this episode. Thank you.
Oh, I love a good dad joke. Reese Morgan says, well, I didn't really get anything out of this. I didn't get out of the trailer for it. Maybe as it was only slightly longer than the trailer. I know it is a short trek and not a long trek, but as the entire thing was filmed kind of like a montage with a song for background. Anyway, I didn't really get any more emotion or depth I didn't get from the preview. Also, this is going to sound nitpicky, but here goes. The one ship you see clearly in Utopia Planitia is one of the designs seen in Discovery, and the shuttles zooming by are also the ones from Discovery. This might not sound like a big problem, but it devastates my headcanon and really takes me out of it. Other than that, I found it to be an intriguing prologue for Star Trek Picard. So, Bruce, this is a big... Thank you for your comment, Reese. This is a big issue that there's a lot in the thread about us seeing ships from the past. What's your take on all that?
I was just watching...
You don't care.
Well, I was just watching a TNG episode, and I saw an Excelsior class. So
my
it
favorite.
Was like from the past, you know? So that happens. You know, okay, there's two things to... the way to look at it. In the realistic world... these short treks is probably done from a lot of the same production staff that is working on Discovery. And so they already have these CGI models built in for Discovery. And they're probably doing the special effects for the short treks. So they're just using what they have.
Okay.
In an in-universe thing, yeah. I mean, we reuse ships and they last for 100 years, 150 years. Sometimes, just like I mentioned on TNG, seeing an Excelsior-class ship. Those things happen. Yeah, and it was in there shortly. You know, I expect we're going to see more updated 24th century ships in Picard. So
yeah.
I'm not worried about it. It didn't bother me. But I know I watched the Trek Yards guys on YouTube. And I mean, if I had enough boxes of Kleenex to send them, I would. But, you know.
Are they upset?
It is what it is. They were very upset. Because they're all about ships, right?
Right.
You know? But so they were really disappointed. That really affected them. And I think they're worried about Picard. But. It didn't bother me, but I get it. I can see where it would bother people, but I just let it go. Just like any time I've seen a movie where there's like a little flub or something in there, I just try to ignore it.
Yeah, or like a stray A on the Enterprise, on the NCC 1701.
Yeah, well, that one, that upset me too.
Yeah.
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 But again, I let that go.
Yeah.
I have my own headcanon stuff to retcon a lot of this stuff, so.
Yeah. I like on the live show when you and Brandy talk about your different headcanon things. Brandy's really good at headcanon. She makes me a believer.
Well, exactly. Because you know what? Anytime you see something on screen, it's true.
Right.
That's the thing. So if it has an A on the Enterprise, there's a reason it's there. I'm just talking, you know.
Yeah.
If you see these old ships, there's a reason that they're there. There probably isn't in reality. You know, they probably just, like I said earlier, they just used them because that's what they had. But you just have to accept it like that's truth. There's a reason.
But, you know, they took out in The Brightest Star, going back to the first season of Short Treks, is when Giorgio came down to Kaminar, the shuttlecraft was initially from the Shenzhou, and then it was revealed that she was actually on the Archimedes, not the Shenzhou. So they took it out of the video.
Yeah.
When they reused the footage.
And they could do that with this too. But the reason it changed is because someone affected the timeline.
There you go. Ah. See, and we don't know what it is, and we might never know.
We don't know. We don't know. But I look at things like the rule of doing improv. Because right. When you do improv, if somebody brings something into a scene that really doesn't even make sense, then but you have to accept it as truth, and you have to make sense of it. That's what I do with Star Trek. Or anything, Star Wars or whatever.
Yes. And?
Or even Saved by the Bell. Some of that doesn't always line up, but I figure it out.
Did you listen to one of the patrons roundtable? We talked about Saved by the Bell just recently.
I did not. That's just a coincidence. That's
wow. Funny. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, it's something in the atmosphere, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. Iran MD Mays says, I suppose that I expected more than a news report about the attack on Mars. Maybe we will see the kids as adults in the ensuing episodes.
Hmm.
Okay, is it saying that this just Short Trek just felt like it was a news report about Mars? Because I got more out of it than that.
Yeah, I had a little conversation with Erend, and I forgive me if I'm saying your name wrong, and there was just, I think it just kind of fell flat for them, and, you know, it just, you know, didn't leave much of an impression, but...
Well, and maybe what he's also saying is that expecting more of a link to Picard than just the attack on Mars.
Oh, right.
You know, because the rest of the episode doesn't really link to Picard. It's
yeah.
just that news report.
It's really unrelated to anything Picard, the situation with the girls, you know, right. Beating each other up. And Aaron, I know that for sure that you're a first-time commenter, because I think you're new to the Babel Conference also as of last month. So welcome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of newbies here.
I know. How cool is that?
Real virgin episode.
It is. Well, yeah, not anymore.
Exactly.
We're deflowering all these listeners.
That's part of the line.
That's gone over the line, actually.
Yeah, it's over the line. That's the problem with the show. We tend to go, we cross the line.
It should be called Postcards Over the Line.
I like that.
Yeah? All right, we're changing it.
Well, it, you know, if we can change things in Star Trek, like the Senju shuttlecraft not being the Senju, that we can change this, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Jason Meyer says, this Short Trek was very much propped up by the choice of song. Without it, it is good, but the song is what drove home the emotion and the overall tone. I supposed Bowie's Life on Mars would have been too on the nose and was recently used on Watchmen in such a way. Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't watched that yet.
I didn't know that either.
It's on my list, Jason. My only criticism involves the way it just sort of ended. I would have loved at least a word or two from Picard before the end credits. I wish he would have mentioned the synths vocally, because I didn't catch the words on the screen. It wasn't until coming here that I read someone saying who had attacked Mars. Perhaps it will be more clear when the series starts, but as its own episode, it just needed a bit more at the end to wrap it all up. Did you think it needed more, Bruce Gibson?
No, I don't think it needed more. I think the idea of this was just to do a short story about these girls, and the stuff about the war connecting to Picard and what was going on was just a little Easter egg for us.
Yeah.
Just a little hint. It wasn't necessary to the story.
Oh yeah, they're not going to give away any of the good stuff. They're going to make you want it.
I mean, I would like more. I love exactly what he's asking for. I would love to
hear
Picard say something, but I wasn't expecting it. I just went in as is.
Yeah, I wasn't either. And they took us right to the edge, to the line, to the edge of the line.
The edge of the line. Is there a song?
To what we wanted, and then didn't give it to us. You know?
How dare they?
The edge of the line. Is it like Boys to Men, End of the Road?
That's what I'm thinking. Yes.
So we would you come sing that?
I knew it.
To the edge of the line.
So Kevin Rhodes.
I'm so glad you're mine. I don't know.
I would sing too, but there's two reasons I won't. One, I'm sick. And two, someone called me out on my bad singing.
What?
In the Babel conference. I guess it was on. Wait, what was it on? What did I do it on? I don't even know what I did it on. I did it on some show.
You sang at the beginning of my very first live episode when I guested with you guys. You hit record or broadcast or whatever you do for that one. And you started singing live, 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 live. And then I started and it just kind of took off from there.
There's my real singing and my not real singing. And so a lot of times I do the not real singing.
Yeah. Well, what's the real singing?
I can't because I'm sick. So that's where real singing is when I put effort into it.
Okay. Well, I hope to hear it one day.
Maybe
Amy Nelson is supposed to also, we're supposed to get her to sing too.
I'll do a duet with her.
Oh, you should do Edge of the Line. It's a hit.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Kevin Rhodes, I'm going to read your comment because I want to change subjects.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kevin says, I'm seeing some liked it, and of course, we're all free to like or dislike something. And I don't want to say someone's wrong for liking something. But for me, oh, holy hell, I hope that was just a one-off with the sentimental pop song, Please No, # It's Not Baywatch.
Oh, I love that comment.
I would love Star Trek Baywatch.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Like on Risa, right? Obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see in a swimsuit from Star Trek?
T'Pol.
T'Pol. Oh, she's, yeah, I love her. I'd be okay with Wilson Cruz, you know, lifeguard.
He's got the packs, the six
packs
he
does.
To do that. That would work. I would like to see Alice Eve, who played Carol Marcus in the Darkness.
Oh, she's great. You know what? I want Wilson Cruz and Ethan Peck, please. Both of them together.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then I would like David Hasselhoff to be there.
He should do Star Trek. Thanks for your comment, Kevin. I think if I'm not mistaken, Kevin, you're also a musician, as am I. So it's so good to have you. Casey Pettit says, I'm on the fence about this episode. On the one hand, the girls did great. Such an emotional story with almost no dialogue. The music choice was odd to me for Star Trek, but it definitely added to the emotional impact for me. Also, I'm all for Star Trek making bold decisions like that. I'm one of many who never cared for the opening music to Enterprise, but damn it if they weren't trying to be bold. If I was to rewrite the episode, I think it would have been more in the form of a news broadcast or multiple news broadcasts. Think about the impact if, with no warning whatsoever, CBS used something like that as a promo for Picard on cable TV, War of the Worlds style. Oh, that's cool. No warning, just a break for commercial, and now a special report from the Federation News Service about an attack on Mars. End with a picture of Admiral Picard, and we'll be back to hear Admiral Picard's reaction to this tragic event. Stay tuned. Cut to black. Display the January 23rd date, then the CBS All Access logo, and no reference to Star Trek Picard. That's cool, Casey.
So, Casey, do you want a job at CBS Marketing? Because that would be great.
Yeah, you should totally send them your resume. Or maybe they're listening. They're not listening.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, if CBS is listening,
mm-hmm.
I will just say thank you, CBS, for not putting your logo into this episode when we saw Admiral Picard on the screen. Actually, no, I take that back. If that wasn't there, I'd probably find that amusing because it would be like, oh, so CBS lasts until the 24th century. That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty ballsy move for CBS.
Yes,
All Access.
They are the Tiffany Network.
So they are the Tiffany Network.
Yeah.
That reminds me of watching David Letterman when I was in high school, and he always would say that.
Okay, well, yeah, see, that just shows our age difference. I was like, no, he was at NBC. I'm like, oh, well, wait. He was at NBC when I was in high school. He was at CBS when you were in high school.
Yeah. I don't really feel like there's a big age difference between us, though.
Oh, son, there is.
Oh, daddy. No, I think, I always think of, when we did the live episodes, I always
after that, I always feel like, oh, Bruce and Brandy are people that I would have just like hung around with in elementary school playing video games and doing nerdy stuff.
That's true. You probably, if we were all the same age then, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you were elementary school and I was in college, I don't think it would have been good that I would be hanging around you playing video games.
Okay. yeah, no, that would have been a little weird. My parents would have been like, who is this guy? What are you doing? Playing video games, talking about nerdy stuff,
Star Trek stuff. Because at the time, well, it would have been, well, okay, so when Challenger exploded, TNG wasn't on yet.
Right.
It was going to be, but it wasn't. So we would only be talking about TOS at that point. We would have been talking about The Voyage Home, that movie, because it would have been the newest one.
That's right.
Okay, so Joshua DeVries says, it kind of reminded me of the frequent sad part near the end of Grey's Anatomy episode where someone is wrestling with a decision. I think it worked well in this episode, but I agree that I don't really want it to become a standard thing. If overused, it can be tiresome. Well, I don't know. I never watched Grey's Anatomy, so I don't know.
I didn't either. Really? I haven't either, no.
I know somebody part of this network who's a huge Grey's Anatomy fan.
Oh, really?
Matt Rushing.
Oh, okay.
He's a big Grey's Anatomy fan. Yep.
Is he a Postcards on the Line fan, do you think?
No. No, he's in 602 Club Land right now, so.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know, Joshua. I think it would be funny if for a while every single Star Trek episode had like a ballad pop rock song for just wouldn't that be hilarious?
It would, but you know, the Grey's Anatomy thing, I mean, I've seen some of it, so I know what he's getting at, but it is very, like, putting songs in shows like that is kind of a typical thing now, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want a song like that to just pop up in Picard. That would feel weird.
No.
The Short Treks, it's fine. That's fine.
Like, what if it was, like, you know, the first episode of Picard, and Picard's kind of thinking he's having this moral crisis about what he knows to be right and what potentially the Federation's doing, and all of a sudden it's like, there were nights when the wind was so cold, like all of a sudden it's all coming back to me now, Celine Dion. <Right. laughs> And Picard, it's just a montage, Picard's walking around.
No. I listen. Oh, I can possibly accept that if that's the way the series was playing out from the beginning. But if you're like even if you're just two episodes in and you do that, that would just totally throw me out.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
But if you start it that way, I'd be like, okay, this is a different stuff. I still wouldn't like it, though, I don't think.
No, I wouldn't either.
It's been a long road getting from...
It'd be really funny, though.
It would be funny.
You know, getting from there to here.
Do it on YouTube. I'll watch it that way.
Okay. All right, well, let's get to your last words. Bruce, go.
These aren't my last words.
Oh, they're not your last words. I'm just telling you to go to read.
Okay.
I'm sorry for making read all these long comments with your cough and sickness and everything.
It's okay. I'm doing it. I'm getting through. It's good. It's good practice.
Everybody, say nice things to Bruce when you listen to this.
Yeah, we're going to edit out anytime I'm coughing up a lung, so you won't get to hear that part.
It'll be the bonus footage at the end. Just Bruce coughing for 5 minutes.
Don't make me... See, it's hard, because when I laugh, I'm going to start coughing. So, hey, Kirk Gumunson says, this episode was absolutely beautiful in every way. The aesthetics, the acting, the costumes, the makeup, the music, the special effects, the story, and the seamless flow of it all. I saw the clear resemblance to 9/11... But I also feel like a story like this and what Picard will probably give us is a reminder and warning of not becoming isolationists, separatists, or people who escalate bad situations. I know I'm reading too much into the Short Trek, but it's a feeling I have based on past interviews as well from Sir Patrick. If this is any indication of what Picard will bring us, I'm even more excited for it than I was before. I too noticed the two starships similar to the SS Shran and the other that looked a bit like the tow ships from season 2, episode 1 and 2 of Discovery. Love the aesthetics of these ships, and maybe it would be more time appropriate to have had an Akira class, Defiant class, etc. there. Also as a small fan service. Having said that, in the past, I've never disliked seeing old classes of ships, like seeing the Mirandan class, OG Excelsior class in the DS9 battles, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we were talking about before about the ships. It's okay. I get that it would have been good if you just put one little tiny more 24th century ship in there. Just like,
if there was one in there, then perhaps it would be a little bit more palatable for the people who are really bothered by that.
Yeah. But you know, you're not showing everything around the Mars Utopia yards here, right? You know, you're just seeing one section. It's the older section. It's where the interns train. See, you just accept
I like it. That. That's my headcanon.
Yes, you just accept that's real. There's something going on there. It's the interns.
Yeah, it's training.
It's training.
They're training on the old ships.
Yeah, with old equipment, because the old equipment comes with the old ships, and you're just doing that. Or it's a celebration of Old Ships Day on First Contact Day.
On First Contact Day. Okay. Yeah, they're part of the parade.
That's it. They were getting the ships ready for the parade. These were the floats.
Totally. Rhea Papagiorgio says, "Oh my gosh. First of all, those two young actors were just phenomenal. I'm so impressed by both of them, even the little bully. I wanted to hate her, but she played the stoic grit of hiding her pain so well, it was impossible not to ache for her. Their two performances made the show for me. Laughed at the girls sitting in timeout under the achieve and grow signs. I really appreciated the laugh at that point in the episode. Was a little shocked that the school chose to live stream the attack for the kids. That seemed a little harsh. It answered my question of whether we'd have an Admiral Picard. I'll take that off my Picardingo boards now. I'm really enjoying how Short Trek Season 2 is expanding the scope of the short format. It's been a diverse mix of interesting episodes, and if you don't like them all, I'm sure everyone's found one that they loved. Bring on Picard." Well, thanks for your comment, Rhea. I'm so glad that you resubscribed to CBS All Access, and you can catch up on the Short Treks and on our postcard shows and all the other episodes. So, Bruce, do you know what the Picardingo thing is that she mentions?
I do not.
So, Rhea's having a Picard watch party, and she's making bingo boards, and each square has a different... I guess if something's mentioned in a show, you put your thing on that bingo board and you can do Picardingo. It's like a bingo game for Picard.
Yeah. How do I get in on this party?
Rhea, let us know in the comments when this comes out.
Yeah.
And show us pictures of it.
We want to see it. Like, I want to see video of actual gameplay happening.
Yeah. I did like the achieve and grow moment. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I did like that too. And then the comments about the season 2 Short Treks are really enjoying it. If anybody likes this type of stuff, IDW in the past couple of years have done some comics called Star Trek Waypoint, which is very similar to this. Actually, they started this before Short Treks, where it's little short comic stories. Sometimes really different, sometimes fits well within universe. You get a variety of different things, so you might want to check that out.
Yeah.
Andrew Boot says, "Oh my God, what a way to end the series of Short Treks. This Short Treks was devastatingly beautiful." By the way, a lot of people said beautiful. That's my little insert.
It is. I noticed that.
"Started off looking like bratty, bitchy secondary school girls in space. Been there, done that once, do not need to relive it. Instead, we got a poignant piece about the impact of loss and potential, we don't know for sure, bereavement in shocking and sudden circumstances. Looking at how this impacts going forth into the new Picard series should be interesting. How and where this fits into a post-Nemesis world and the world of the Federation after Voyager and the TNG films end."
Nicely put. But Andrea... their parents are dead.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Oh, come on. They're dead.
Oh, gosh, man. You're negative. You just don't
their
know.
Their parents are dead.
Look, I'm waiting for a new book to come out that's a sequel to this where the parents live.
Parents of Children of Mars?
Parents of Children of Mars that are alive.
That are alive and not dead.
That are not dead.
So I was going to, I also wanted to read your comment, Bruce, that you left in the in the thread.
Was I allowed to even leave a comment if I'm doing the show?
You can, because I allow you to.
Okay.
So, because it's my show, and the line must be drawn here. Well, I guess I'm not technically drawing a line. I'm not making a line. But you said, it's interesting how sadness can bring out different emotions. Being sad that your parent isn't there for you brings out conflict with another. Then, sadness of potentially losing that parent brings out uniting with that same individual. I wanted to read that because I really liked what you said, Bruce.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the whole idea is I was looking at it thinking, like, you know, here's an individual who's sad. And, I mean, also angry. But there's sadness right in there. And I think a lot of that sadness creates the anger. But they're sad and they're taking it out on someone. And then when they feel like they're losing that parent, it's a different type of sadness now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, both is a sadness of not having. But now, you know, it's not having, and now this is sadness of loss. And then that brings her to unite with that person that she was taking her other aggression of sadness and anger onto. So it just shows that when you have emotions, you can play out differently with those emotions based on the circumstances.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a Trek thing, too. You know, there are differences that separate us, and then, you know, we're all also going through a lot of things that can bring us together as well.
Yeah, and there's always different stages of your emotions, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, see, you just thought I was the goofy guy, but I can think and have insightful thoughts, you know?
Yes, you can. Yeah, Bruce is really smart and sensitive and cuddly and, yeah.
And gets in fights like with you at restaurants.
And gets in, you know, yeah, but that's just, you know, that's just for fun.
Yes.
So, Brucetifer R. Gibsonfield, how do you think, do you remember that?
I do. What was that about? I'm trying to remember.
It was a live episode, and you called me Brucetifer R. Gibsonfield or something like that. It was something, comment in the chat or something. I wanted to bring that up.
I like that name, actually.
Brucetifer R. Gibsonfield, how do you think the fans responded to this week's episode?
They responded by putting their comments in the Babel Conference. That's how they responded. But they
accurate.
But I think it's the key that we just said in one of these last comments that Andrea put in here, the word beautiful. I mean, I've heard that come up a lot. We've heard a lot come. I mean, first of all, most of the comments are positive. Even those that had concerns and feel like they hated the episode, you know, maybe didn't really work for them. But I think overall, most people felt, you know, it's beautiful. We've heard 9/11, you know, or, you know, the Bushfield fires and all that stuff, the bushfires.
Yeah, and the Challenger.
And the Challenger, all that. I mean, we've heard so much about that. So I think people got the same messages across that, you know, we can all relate to tragedies in our lives and finding someone that we can bond with over those tragedies. And that could be a beautiful thing. And I think that's what a lot of people seem to take away from this episode.
Bruce, that's so touching. That's so nice. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's why I'm on the show.
This is why you're here. To say better things than I would.
It's just because I'm sick. I'm delirious. I don't know what I'm saying right now. It's the medication.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful was mentioned a lot. And you know what else was mentioned a lot was literary treks.
Oh, take a drink.
Yeah.
Literary Treks, that's a show that I'm on.
Yep, it is. Listeners, be sure to check out all of our Star Trek Picard coverage in the main feed for The Line and in the Trek FM master feed. You can catch full analysis on The Line main show with Chrissy, Justin, and Brandon. Our episode commentary show is Tracks on the Line with Mike and Max. Our live show... Oh, wait, let me move on. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Star Trek Picard, and the best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where I will collect your feedback for postcards. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at TrekFM, or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the line. Bruce, it was so fun having you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Yeah, and thanks for pushing through in spite of not feeling well and all the different scheduling changes that I had to put up with trying to catch up on my own work.
Well, this was like the highlight of my day. Seriously. Yeah. I was just like, you know, oh, I'm not feeling well and, you know, whatever. And I was just like, oh, but I get to do postcards tonight with Chris. That will be fun.
Yeah. I'm in such a better mood now than I was earlier today. I had a long day of playing auditions and then somebody irritated me at lunch. And then after this and hanging out with you again, I just feel so much better.
So here's some inside baseball into these shows. I can tell you, because when I do the live show with Brandy and when I do that other show that I won't mention because it's been mentioned so many other times, that show that I do with Dan Gunther, there's so many times right before the show, somebody, and I'm guilty of this too, but we're always like, today was just so, it's always like that.
I know.
And then we do the show and we're always like, well, that was fun. I feel so much better now that we've done the show.
I know. It's so easy to get comfortable and just in your like funk.
Yes. It's like, okay, here's my imitation of well, you know, yeah, there's times I'm just like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. I'm not ready for the show tonight, but let's do it. Cause I'll get ready. I'll get pumped. I know I will. That's why I do. Dan is more of the, oh my gosh, today, oh, I don't even want to talk about it. And Brandy's more of the,
yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
And then you go live and it's, oh God.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a great thing about Star Trek too, right? You have a bad day, you watch Star Trek, you're feeling better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at @Admiral_Rex. You can find me here on the network, which I think I've mentioned several times, Live from the Edge, where we do a live show. Me and Brandy do a live show after an episode of Discovery. And, of course, Literary Treks with Dan Gether. We talk about the books and comics of Star Trek. I also do stuff over at the Star Wars Report, which, of course, is about Star Wars. And, I'm just going to say it. Dan and I've got a new podcast that we're working on called Positively Trek, and you can go to that on Twitter at Positively Trek, so you can be updated when we have shows coming out. So they're not out yet, but they'll be coming. And you're probably like, well, what's it about? I don't know. It's about Star Trek. Positively. All about Star Trek.
I love it. I follow you on Twitter now.
Oh, you just started?
I just did, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CD Littlefield and, of course, lurking in the Babel Conference. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. Thanks to our associate producer, Norman C. Lau. Thanks for supporting Trek FM and especially The Line. Join us very soon for another episode of Postcards on the Line right after the series premiere of Star Trek Picard. Hailing frequencies open.
Before in a drawer.